I'll tell you what, Denver has the mountains and all that stuff, but man, I like Alfred. Yeah. Well, I didn't have to drive, but most of my time was spent in the motel. We had usually 17-hour days, and wow. If you ever get over there, there's a little restaurant, though, that I'll tell you something. I ate something there that it was as good as anything I've ever eaten. It was a little Italian restaurant, and they had each booth was kind of enclosed, and then they had a screen up there where they would show somebody singing some kind of Italian opera or something, and they had it was kind of a white sauce chicken pizza, and I ate it. It was this big around, and when I got to that last little sliver, I felt my stomach, and looked at it, and then felt my stomach, and anyhow, I left one little sliver. Dad always told me to clean my plate, but maybe I didn't get that one clean. I want to talk today about transforming vision into reality. And I want to talk today about the most powerful transforming force that there is. Okay, if we want to transform vision into reality, I want to think about what is the most powerful thing of transformation? What is the most powerful thing? We have a faith that moves mountains. Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, of course there's that little thing, you know, I know that mountain's going to be moved, but wait a second, look and see if it has been, you know, but faith and do not doubt, it says, and do not doubt, not only can you do what I've done with the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? And there's power there. If you want to see change in your life, you've got to pray. Don't you? Ask God. If I want this changed in my life, if I have this problem, this attitude, this sin, pray. One of the great powers that there is. Another great power is love. Has anyone ever loved you to the point that you wanted to change? That you wanted to do differently? That you wanted to live up to the expectation of their love? Well, God's love, if we ever could see it, would have such a transforming power. It says in that in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, now we see a glimpse, but then we'll see face to face. And every so often we have to stand back and reflect on how much God loves us and how unworthy we are of that love. How that our lives have never measured up. If anyone says they don't have any sin, they're lying to themselves and God. And anyone that, you know, one of the worst things that we can have is a kind of a pride where I'm okay, I'm good enough, and we never, ever, ever are good enough. We always need God's love and His grace and His mercy to make up the difference. And that love and grace and mercy is built so that it can change us. As we reflect on His love that put His own Son on the cross, the power to change at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away. We are changed by the power of God's love. Love never fails. But what about prophecies? They will cease. What about tongues? They will be stilled. What about knowledge? It will pass away. It'll be superseded. You know, if you got prophecy, well, it predicts up to a certain point, but it'll be superseded. If you have speaking, I'm glad to speak. I love to preach. What kind of speaking will we need in the kingdom? We'll see it and know it and feel it. All the things that we say is superseded by God. Whenever I'm feeling the presence of God, I don't want to say anything. I just want to sit there and enjoy it. You know, I love the worship today, both Tabby's and Cassia's. You know, as you get older, that brain, it takes a while to turn a few revolutions before it does anything. But I love that. And we need to spend time, carve out time in your life to just sit and enjoy God. Enjoy thinking about Him. Enjoy meditating on Him. Listening to music. We have all kinds of worship. We'll worship in our words, in our songs, in our reading, in our preaching, in our giving. But sometimes we just need to sit and listen. There are some people, I won't mention any names, not here, of course, but there are some people that talk so much you want them to stop a second so you get a word in edgewise. At least turn it this way so a word in edgewise. Sometimes when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to just shut up and listen. Open our hearts. You know, whenever Elijah was there and there came what? Well, it was an earthquake and a strong wind and what else was there? Earthquake, wind, and there's one more. But anyway, fire, that's what it was, a fire, and all this amazing stuff, but the word of the Lord wasn't in any of them. And if Elijah has taken any one of those things, went with that, he would have missed the one that came last, which was that still, small voice. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. That's verse 9 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. But when completeness comes, what is in part will disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, grew up. In other words, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, and then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully as I am known. Now these three abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love has a transforming power. Parents, you can discipline, that's good. You can train, that's good. But you got to have that love that reaches their hearts. That love that bridges the gap, that never ends. Love never fails in any circumstance. So that's a great, great power of transforming. The gospel has the power of transformation because it says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the good news." The gospel of Jesus Christ. For in it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Have you got the power to change? You know, God can change hearts just by the gospel. The law will tell you what's wrong. The law will tell you where you're messing up. But it's the gospel. What the law could not do. Because we're in the flesh, grace and faith in Jesus Christ changes. miraculously, powerfully. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Why? It isn't because we heard the law. It's because we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of Him living inside of us. The law just reminds us where we've been. It tells us what's right and wrong. There's nothing wrong with the law. Don't ever get the impression of saying there's anything wrong with the law. But it does not have the power to change you. It is God and His Holy Spirit living in us. If you walk in the Spirit, what will happen? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Don't even try. I'm telling you, don't even try to use the law to change somebody. It won't do it. Sometimes you just make them mad at you. You use the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then our hearts are drawn to God, and we want to serve Him. We're not just afraid of hell. We're looking for the glory of God that's to come through Jesus Christ. The Word of God. The world of God. My secretary missed that one. See, W-O-R-L-D. It'll be W-O-R-D. The Word of God. I better take off my jacket here. This is getting thick. Okay. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the divine asunder, soul and spirit and joints and marrow. The Word of God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I've sought thee. Let me not depart from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God is powerful, because it tells us the truth and the love and the mercy of God. Write these words. How can I know my path? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And Jesus honors that word all the time, because whenever He was tempted, what did He do? Go turn these stones into bread. What did He say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His word is powerful. But that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm getting there. Hold on. We have beyond that, we have the power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. So as we think about where the power comes from to transform and change, obviously it's through Jesus Christ. Powers of the universe, the Holy Spirit power. You know, that whenever Jesus was being baptized, He came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on Him and stayed on Him. Whenever they came together on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and fire, tongues of fire, set on appearances like a tongue of fire setting on each one of them, and the house shook, and they spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see how these all kind of weave together. They spoke the good news, and how many were baptized on that day? 3,000. Do you see how the transforming power of God working? And he says in Acts 1, verse 8, "And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes, and you will be my witnesses." The power to transform you and to then to be a witness. What's our witness? What is our witness? I used to think that if I wanted to witness, I'd tell somebody, "Well, do you know about the 3 days and three nights that Jesus spent in the tomb?" Or I'd say, "Did you realize that that unclean meat you're eating is going to send you straight to hell?" I mean, I wouldn't say it that way. Let me straighten you out here. But what is the witness that God wants to the world? Is it obscure teachings that we have? Not that I don't believe in, not that I don't think they're right, but what is it our witness to the world? What will be the message to the world? It will be transformed lives. Where God is in your life, where God is over your life, where God is ruling in your heart, where the Spirit of God is so evident that they, when they see you, they see Jesus Christ. They see the heart of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the power of God. It's so transforming. You, the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will walk in the Spirit, you will have the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit will be evidenced in the church, so that the mighty power of God is living in you and in me. And brothers and sisters, I need more of it. When Elisha went up in the chariot, Elijah went up in the Spirit. Chariot. Elisha was left. And he didn't just ask for the same Spirit. He asked for a double portion of the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, we need more than a double portion. We're fighting the enemies, the world, the devil, our carnal flesh. We need more of that Spirit every day. We need to spend time before the face of God, listening to Him, honoring Him, just as Mary. Martha was cleaning the house. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to sit spiritually at the feet of Jesus. He needs to be the joy of our heart, the joy of our salvation, the joy of our lives. And I guarantee you, you will shine a different light when Moses stood before God for those 40 days and then 40 more. And that glory was on him. It was so great that he had to wear a veil, a shield, because the people couldn't handle it. They were fearful. I want the glory of God shining in my life in a way that just says to the world, that person has been with God. Power to witness and the power to be born again. Jesus said in John 3:3-5, and Jesus replied, "Very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Jesus answered, "Very truly I say to you that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born by water and the Spirit." We must be born again. The power to be born again. And that born again is not just where I was the old man, now I'm still the old man, kind of cleaned up a little bit. Is that the power? Don't tell me you have the same anger that you used to have. Don't tell me you have the same temptations that you used to have. Don't tell me you're falling for the same tricks of the devil that you used to. Don't worry, he'll come up with new ones. But don't tell me about the old ones, because we are transformed by the power of God. We're born again, new creatures, old things passed away. All things are become new. Transforming power. I'll go back one slide just a second here. power of the Spirit to change me. Tell me what the best way to defeat or to win or to defeat somebody is. Is it to beat them or win them? If you have somebody that's against you, would you rather defeat them, out-argue them, out-talk them, or would you rather win them as a friend? That kind of starts off this little part here. It says, a brother wronged, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. The problem with sheep is they kind of bite each other and nip at each other and kick each other and wound each other. It's up to the shepherd to keep that, try to keep that in line a little bit better. But a brother or a sister wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. You can win the battle and lose the war, is what I'm saying. You can out-argue them, out-talk them, out, but you'll lose the war. Disputes are like a barred gates on a citadel. In Matthew chapter 5:21, it says, you have heard that it has been said by people long ago that you shall not murder. Anyone who murders is subject to the judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, you idiot, kind of what he's saying, you fool, you good for nothing, you worthless, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says, you fool, is danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar and there God brings to remembrance, you've got to be sensitive and open to the Spirit, but God brings to remembrance. There you remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift at the altar and first be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. You're going to the court. What do you want to do before you get there? let's figure out a way. You know, let's do something different. Because when you get to court, you go before the judge, and the judge will hand you the off. If you're guilty, he'll hand you to the officer, and he'll throw you in prison, and you won't come out until you've paid up the last cent. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you yours. What is the greatest power in the universe? You know what it is? For transformation. The greatest power in the universe for transformation for me is when God forgives me and I am brought back to Him. All these powers are kind of interrelated. But when I realize how much I have failed God, when I realize how much I've missed His calling and missed the boat, when I realize that and then realize His forgiveness, it has a transforming power. Turn with me in your Bibles or follow along on your phone or iPad or whatever you're using. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old things are gone. The new is here, it says in the NIV. Now, it follows that with something. Transformation, right? We're talking, everything old is gone and everything new is here. Transformation. And this from God who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. The fact that God gave Jesus on the cross to die for my sins. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, don't ever get far from the cross. Don't ever get far. You can't leave it behind. You can't just say, okay, He forgave me and everything's okay. It's part of when he justifies us by his death on the cross, it's part of the sanctifying us through the knowledge of what he did, through the awareness of what he did, through the worshiping of God for what Jesus did. Don't leave it behind. Don't let it be just a past event. It's a real event, a current event that has to be in you, and so that it continues. Because it says we die. I die daily. How do I die daily? I go back to the cross. I realize that Jesus died for my sins, and I realize I should have died there. And I recognize his forgiveness day after day after day after day, and I weep over my mistakes. I weep over my sins, and I cry out to God for forgiveness, and I have that cross right there in my mind, in my heart, of what Jesus dying, that horrible death for me. It says, all this from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, gave us what? The ministry of reconciliation. We take what Jesus did on the cross and how it affected us, and we allow ourselves to be changed, and we go out to the world and in every place around. What are we doing? We're the ministry of reconciliation. Whenever there's a problem that you have with somebody, that ministry of reconciliation needs to kick in. It's got to kick in. If it doesn't kick in, it will destroy the fellowship in a family, in a church, anywhere. And we've got to let that ministry of reconciliation be our forefront, our way of reaching out to people. You have to first have the reconciliation yourself. If you haven't got it, you can't give it. This is the greatest transforming power in the universe. Because it's the beginning of the transformation of me, and it's the healing. I don't know if you've ever been through this thing of reconciliation, but let me tell you, when you do it right, you will have not an enemy, but a brother or sister for life. Husbands and wives, you've got to go into this reconciliation. How many husbands mess up here? Wives, raise your hand. How many, you know what I mean? And this ministry of reconciliation will keep a marriage together. It will keep a church together. It will keep a fellowship together. You've got to reconcile. Find that forgiveness and healing that comes. And if you go to the altar and anytime God brings something to your mind that isn't right, you've got to get it right. Let it eat at you a bit and go back. And if that doesn't work, let it eat at you some more and go back. The ministry of reconciliation, the most powerful transformation. And it goes on that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the people's sins against them, but and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. What are we sharing? We're sharing the reconciliation that came through Christ with a world that's lost. And the love and the spirit and all those things work in there to get us that ministry of reconciliation to a world that needs Jesus. Here's the message of the gospel in a short sentence. And God made him. Who's him? Who's the him? Jesus Christ. To be sin for us. So that we might become the righteousness of God. He took Jesus and made him to be sin. That's why it says our sins were nailed to the cross. And we bear it no more. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And this is for eternity. This is no game. This isn't a cartoon. It isn't play acting. This is as real as anything you will ever do or face. And we got to take it that way. It's supposed to work. Oops. Hit the wrong button. Just sit back and listen and gaze in the face of God. Let Him speak to you today. love to worship. I feel refreshed, renewed when I do. Take time for God and worship Him throughout your day. Carve out those times when He comes first. We just got a text from someone in Huron. I didn't see exactly who it was, but it's about Mina. She's the little girl that used to come. Huh?
Mina's sister's daughter.
Okay. Got you. Okay. Well, Mina sent me an email about her sister somehow, her daughter in California. You want to just stand up and give us that request real quick? Mina's sister's daughter, and Mina's a sweetheart that comes here so often for our different events, and her mom, Josh, and is her dad, and what's the mom's name?
Ruth.
No, not Ruth.
Ruth is the mother
of the one that's
in California.
But who's the one?
Sister.
Okay, Ruth and Mina are sisters. Okay.
They used to live in Huron.
Ruth's daughter then.
She used to lead the worship.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking of her daughter.
Oh.
Comes in little.
Cousin.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Anyway, anytime a 16-year-old is in distress, that's important. And so I hope you'll join me in prayer for her right now and write that down somewhere. We want to keep praying for them, and we want to hear a good report that God has touched this child. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to worship and to praise You and honor You, give You the glory. And the sweet fellowship we have in Jesus Christ. Brothers, sisters, and Lord, even though we're separated by distance and getting our names straight and all that kind of stuff, but Lord, You know this young lady. You know, Lord, what's troubling her. And Lord, we know that You have all power in heaven and earth. And when we pray in faith, if any two will agree on anything, You will do it, Lord. And I know that we're not the only ones praying, Lord. The church family there, the church in Huron, as we lift up our voices together for this young lady, we pray Your touch and Your power of healing on her heart and mind and spirit. We thank You and praise You and ask this in Jesus' precious name. And ask for a wonderful day with You, Lord. Sabbath, we have it free. We don't have to go to work. We don't have to bother ourselves with all the things. Let it be a time of joy and worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll just let this play while we're leaving.